Well, it's great to see you, and this is our, if you're new to church, or if not, this is our theme. This is what we're looking at all this year. Join us in building community. And at the heart of what we do in this church are communities. We love Sundays, but it's communities in the week where people can share faith and be encouraged, and we just love doing this stuff. And we're looking in the mornings at these Bible readings from Thessalonians. We're in the second letter now, and a message for the local church. So we've got to imagine we're a local church here in Crooks and in this area of Sheffield. What can we learn from the Bible to help us be good folks in a local church? And this is the last one of the passages from Thessalonians. We did first letter, then Paul's second letter, and next week we start on something else, the letter of James, up to the sub. You'll see where that'll go a little later. Now, this second letter, here's a top tip, came after the first letter. I went to college, I know what I'm talking about. Second Thessalonians comes after First Thessalonians. And it was written less than a year after the first letter. Why? Because there was trouble at Mill. There was trouble in the church. There was disruption. People were arguing about when Jesus would come back, because that's Christian teaching, that Jesus will come back to this earth once again and sort out forever evil and wrong. And Paul was writing the second letter, saying, look, I told you in the first letter, don't worry and whittle about that. Whittle is a South Yorkshire term. You just have to live your life now. That time is set. Don't do this. Just press on with what you're doing. So that's what we're going to look at. And especially this morning, live right, as Paul said, if you live right, you will live the God life. Live right and live God. That's what we're looking at this morning. Now, this is a long passage. It's the whole of chapter 3, so I'm not going to read through it all. But there are three main themes throughout these verses. It's this. Paul calls the church to pray. He talks about the protection of God. And at the end, he says, press on with this living right, this God life. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, okay? Going to give you a chance to a little think and buzz with the person at the side of you. Then there's a challenge at the end. At the end of this gathering, there's going to be some teams at the front here. And we're going to ask everyone to come out and be anointed with oil. We're going to get the sign of the cross on our foreheads. It's going to be very, very exciting. It's going to be so good. It's nice oil. It smells very nice. It's not, somebody once asked me, is it engine oil? No. Is it cooking oil? No. It came from the body shop. I should have said it came from a special factory in the Middle East. It didn't get from the body shop, but it's very nice and right. It's been blessed by God. Okay, so we're going to anoint, get anointed with oil, and you'll see why we're going to do that. Final song, then the cafe's open. So let's look through these three things here. First of all, Paul calls the church and us to pray. And this is good to know about prayer. Prayer, God's prayer room is open 24/7. So I don't know if you need prayer at the moment or you need to pray for someone, but you can pray anytime, anywhere. It works. Now, I remember when I was first made, just turn me down a bit, Anthony, keep moving me around a bit, I think. I remember when I was first ordained as a vicar, I'm a vicar in the Church of England, I remember people saying to me, We were training. We went into churches, and I remember the guy who was leading us saying, the walls are impregnated with God's presence. And even then I thought, how does that work? There was a tendency to think, this is the place where you do your praying. Now, churches are handy, keeps the rain off. There's a chair every now and again. We get new chairs. They're nearly ordered. They'll be here very soon. It's going to be a surprise. High chairs they are. We're all going to sit here. It's going to be a table. It's going to be so good. You're all worried about that now. They're going to be really good. They're very useful buildings, but it's a building. Remember, the early church that he was talking to here, Paul, had no buildings. They met in homes. They met in taverna. They met in their business premises. They didn't have this. And so we thank God for the buildings he's given us, and we thank God for this campus, which is alive, and we pray that when people walk across the village square, they're touched by the peace of God. We pray every week, every day in this place, that this campus is God's place. However, let not that detract from the fact that at any time, in any place, God's prayer room is open to you. You don't have to be in a certain place to pray. And Paul says this to them. These are the first two verses. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. Now, what is he saying here? Well, the word pray here in the original means this: exchanging my wishes for God's wishes, exchanging my hopes for God's hopes, to come before God in a way that I in some ways bow down to him and say, your will, not my will. Now, it's very hard for human beings to do. Generally, it works like this. I've got a plan. I think it's a good one. I've told God, bless it, God. That's generally how we work, in a nutshell. That's a book I'm going to write one day. It's a very short book. Basically, it's, I've got a great idea. This is going to work. I know how to run my life. Is that okay, God? I've said a prayer. That's it. It's going to be blessed. It doesn't work like that. We have to come before God. When these things happen in our life, we do something in this church called Life Shapes. It's one of the tools that we use. A moment comes and we have to stop and reflect, turn back to God, repent, and say, God, give me faith. What do you want me to do here? And so exchanging what I want for what he wants. And he's saying here, pray for two things in particular at the end of this letter. Number one, pray that the message may spread rapidly. And again, the words here are quite important. It's like an athlete running a race, really a sprinter, running with everything they've got, totally directed, maximum effort, quick. So he's saying, let the message spread quickly everywhere and be honored. And secondly, while that's happening, would you protect us that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. And the word evil here means people who are, the word means malicious, a disturber. And he goes on, the verses 6 through to 12, which we're not going to read, he talks about these people. He says they are disturbers, they are idle, and they are busybodies. They're the terms he uses. People who bring disturbance, you can always tell them they're usually idle. They don't do anything. They just hang around and criticize all the time. And actually, they're not busy in the Lord's work. They're busybodies. You know, there's nobody like that in this church, by the way. I'm talking generally. It's everybody else, not us. It's kind of like, you know, people who stick their finger in everything. You know, you're having a conversation, some all of a sudden a body appears. Actually, I overheard your conversation. I've got some input for you here. And so he's saying here, remember, pray all the time that the message spreads, and pray that busybodies and people who irritate and who are malicious, you know, the tongue, pray that you will be delivered from those people. And you can pray anytime you want. Pause. Where do you need prayer today? When does this church need prayer? But where do you need some prayer? Is there anything you need to be praying about? Anything in particular for you or somebody you know, your job, your health? Perhaps you've been praying and given up and stopped. Maybe you need to start praying again this morning. Maybe you need to get together with someone and start praying. I'm not going to ask you to turn to the person next to you, because I just want you to think, where is God calling you now to pray? Start praying either for the first time or to pray again. He goes on, prayer, and he said this. There's another key theme here, and it's protect. Protect. And he says this. The Lord is faithful. this is happening in your life. There's busybodies and stuff, and it's, you know, we've got to get the word out there. But he says, look, the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. And so he's saying, God is faithful. You can trust him. God will strengthen you. He will uphold you. He'll keep you strong. And he said, he will protect you. It's a wonderful word. It's kind of this, like an umbrella. It's that if you're under this umbrella that God has, you're completely covered under the hand of God. And this protection is quite important. I've just been in with the Little Steps, gave a little talk in there at the 10:30. It's fantastic. Great to see people in there. And actually, they were talking about the Lord's Prayer with folks in there with their little toddlers, and they took away a Lord's Prayer. And one of the things about the Lord's Prayer is that the prayer says, protect us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil. And as you pray that, I'm amazed how many people don't pray the Lord's Prayer at least once a week. If you did it every day, I mean, it's there. It's full of everything, provision and protection and guidance. And so Paul is saying here that you will be protected. Again, he uses it's like a military term, that there'll be people in front of you protecting you. Now, I think we all need protection from what's happening in the world. We're not called to be out of the world, we're in the world. But it's good to think about, where do you need protection at the moment? Your family, perhaps. Where do we need protection? When we look around, we can see the news and the newspapers and the TV, and we can think sometimes, I can't do anything about it. Well, we can start praying and trust God that he will protect. Does that mean I'll never get ill? I'll never have a terrible diagnosis? My body will never fail me? Of course it won't. I know people, I'm looking out of this gathering now, and I know who you are, and you're going through trials and difficult times, physically and all kinds of ways with your family. And I know some of you in the past weeks have had challenging words back from hospitals, and I know some of you are coming back to church, and it's great to see you. It is a challenge. It is difficult. However, God is our protector. It's important to remember that, and this is why Paul is saying at the end of this letter, look, he is your protector. He will protect you. I'm going to say a little prayer now, just for 20 seconds, all of us together. If we all do it together, nobody can hear what you're saying. So we're all going to pray together just for something for you or your family or somebody you know. Okay? Now I'm going to ask you to pray for the church. Pray for, as we all start, it might be, God, would you protect me, what I'm going through at the moment? Lord, I'm anxious about this. Would you protect me about this? My children, my job situation, whatever it is, at the moment, we're taking the prayer stuff and bringing the protection, a prayer for protection. Lord, we thank you for your protection, and thank you for hearing our prayer. Amen. And do you know what? One of the Lord's key planks, his plan for protection, is community. If you're in community, you are under this umbrella, the church community. If you're part of this church, if you're part of a midweek community. And it is like, the term that Paul uses here is like a shepherd who's so looking after the sheep, they're willing to lay their lives down for the sheep. I think this is the one we've just done, so we'll leave that one there. So and then he says this. He says, there's a third element here, and this will probably have, this is it, press on. This is what I want to finish just this little thought on. Press on, persevere, persist. And I think there's one thing the church in our nation is poor at, is perseverance. We just pack up. Oh, it's another P. The alliteration just flows, doesn't it? You know? We just pack up. We just stop when it gets too hard. Well, be encouraged, because it happened all these years ago. They were struggling. And he said, look, press on. Anybody here ever swim breaststroke? Okay, well done. Anybody ever attempt and think that's too hard? Anybody not bothered one way or the other? There you go, that's good. Who likes swimming, by the way? Put your hand up if you like swimming. Put your hand up who doesn't like swimming. I like swimming when it's kind of 24 degrees, t-shirt, shorts, straight away, into the water, get out, get a drink, stand there, dry off. What I can't be doing with is cubicles. When you're 6 foot, when you're in a cubicle like this, and you're trying, you know when the towel is wet by the time you've dried, and then you realize you're still wet due to the damp and steam in the changing room. And then you're trying to put clothes on which stick to you. A lot of detail here, I know. But it's the elephant in the room, isn't it? And you come out, I'm more exhausted after I've got changed than when I was swimming 500 lengths. I've never in my life swum 500 lengths, except in my dreams. But Paul says here, press on. And this is the verse to take away with us. He said, pray. He said, you will be protected. But he said, press on. I love this verse 13. As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Never tire of doing what is good. The one thing the church is called to do in practice is to do good. We read that Jesus went around doing good, and we are to do what he did. Paul writes to the church in Galatia exactly the same thing. He says, look, never get weary of doing good, because at the right time you're going to reap the harvest. The people you're praying for, the situations you really want to change, keep pressing on. Don't give up. And the word tire there, never tire, the phrase, it actually means this. It actually means don't pull back, don't be faint, don't be cowardly in spirit. And it's the picture is a soldier on the front line and the enemy comes and you go, okay, I'll just take a few steps back and hope somebody fills in. So I'm still here, but I'm not there. I pull back because the challenge is too much. He says, don't do that. Don't pull back. Don't tire. Don't grow weary and faint. Stand your ground. And as you do, you are doing good. And this term doing good, it's the only time it's ever used in the whole of the New Testament. And actually means this, do good in a way it will inspire other people. And so as you stand there, if you're going through troubles in your life or challenges at work or whatever it is, or you try to witness to people about your faith, you try and invite them to things, and in the end you go, oh, blow it, not bothered. Let somebody else do it. I've had a go. I'm going to step back. He says, no, carry on doing it, because others, they know it's difficult for you, but as they see you doing this, standing in the difficult place, they will look to you and you will inspire them to do such good things. I love this term that he uses here. Never tire of doing what is good. And that's my prayer for all of us here in this church. Now, for us, I'll give you a little timeline, bring this into land. This is where this church is going. Would you like to see where we're going? Okay, we're all going to Mablethorpe. we're going to get some coaches in, and I love Mablethorpe. Hands up if you've ever been to Mablethorpe. Hands up if you've never been to Mablethorpe. Your lives are so shallow. It is the finest place this side of New York. I'm joking. Okay. This is where we're going. Press on, church. Press on, SDC. Today is press on, 17th of the 6th. That's the date today. This is where we're going on this timeline. Okay. Next week, it's the college graduation. All these guys are going to get their certificates and the bill. Okay. The week after, we've got baptism of some children in our church family. We've got kids getting baptized. We love that. At the front here, it's going to be full. The following week, the 8th of July, we're going to catch our breath. Oop, what happened there? I don't know. We're going to catch our breath because it's going to be busy. So we're just going to have a great Sunday together as family. We're going to catch our breath on that day. Keep praying. Keep listening to God. The following Sunday, on the 15th, we've got adult baptisms, as Tom says, in my jacuzzi at the back here. I'm renting it out for the Sunday, so we can baptize some adults, and we've got loads of adults. It's going to be a fantastic day. I'm telling you, we're going to baptize adults in there. And then on the 22nd of July, we're having something now called Invitation Sunday. It used to be, before the summer gathering started, Abiding Sunday. Do you remember? It's gone. We ain't got time to abide. You can abide when you have a sleep at night. We've got to get on with this stuff now. And so the media team are working fantastically on cards and social media. We're going to be old-fashioned and invite people to church. It's going to be a great experience. It's not going to be cheesy and it's not going to be wacky. It's going to be great. We're going to invite people to church, and some are going to say no, but some are going to say yes. Hopefully by then we'll have some new chairs. Just make sure they don't dirty them when they sit on them. That's all that visitors are like. That's all they, when they come in. You know when you have visitors in your house and they come in and they don't wipe their feet and there's mud all over your white carpet. And you go, hi, great to see you. Mud on the carpet. Great to see you. Take a seat. Shall I take my shoes off? No. It's too late now, isn't it? You've got the stuff on the carpet. But we're not going to be lying that when people come in here. We're going to say, come in. Dirty the chairs. It's great to see you. Invitation Sunday. So it's going to be focused on inviting people. Join us and have some fun. And then we're going to move on to this. On the 29th, we start the summer gathering. 6 weeks. And our theme this summer, I'll tell you now, is this. We love church. We're going to have thousands of cards. We're going to get it on social media. We're going to tell the whole world. We've got videos out there. And we're saying, look, we are Christians and we flipping love church. We love church. We love church on Sundays. We love church on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays. Saturdays is a day off. We all go to IKEA. And then, or Tesco, or Waitrose. Who shops in Waitrose? Bicker. I am definitely paying you too much if you shop in Waitrose. Who shops in Morrison's? Oh, well done there, yes. I love Morrison's, it's great. I love Waitrose. I love going to Waitrose just to see all the rich people shop. It's great, isn't it, when you walk around and see them shopping. Just stir it up a bit. There we go. So we're going to say we love church, seriously. And we're going to tell people we love being, but we're not embarrassed about being part of the church. We love church. So watch out for those little logos. That's not the one you're going to see. The one that Bryony did, we couldn't get on the PowerPoint in time. So that's what's going to happen. The following week, on the 8th, it's Welcome Back Sunday. Schools are back. Off we go. And then the following week, this is it. Revival begins. Okay? So book it in your diary. Don't have a day off. The revival is beginning on the 15th of September. Okay? So get here early, otherwise you won't get a seat. I'm telling you. So that's what we're believing in. We're believing this is going to happen, okay? Press on, church. And actually, as we do that, I think something quite significant will happen. Just turn to the person next to you now. One thing before we finish, God has spoken to you about up to now. One thing that's impacted you, apart from the stunning jokes, one thing that God has impacted you with. Now, as we do this, press on, we're going to need lots of praying. Pray. This church is not just about Sundays. We have hundreds of people meeting in the week in communities. So if you're new, ask about it. You'll get invited to one. We're going to need to pray. We're going to need to know God's protection. But as we press on, it's going to take hard work. Hard work. We're going to have to not be idle, but we're going to have to work hard for the Lord in our workplaces, in our families, with our friends, our family, but also as we serve inside this church community. But I love that sense of, if you want to win, you've got to work hard. We want to win, yeah? Well, 8 of us do. We want to win, yeah? We do. We want to win for Jesus. We want to see people coming to faith. We want to bring them to church. We want to see the churches full again. We want to see our teenagers hear about the message of hope and salvation in our schools. We want to see these things happen. It's no time now to be idle. It's no time to die. Don't die, you're going to miss all the fun. We're going to pray for protection. We need a strong church because we are going to win. We are going to see these things happen in our lifetime. Thank you, sister. You're on my Christmas card list. We want to see these things happen. And when that happens, then we are going to see, I think this will come on. That's the advert, right. That's what we're trying to do. We need to pray, we need God's protection, and we're going to press on with the call he's laid on our life. One thing I want to remind you of now, can I get the band out, please? We're going to sing our last song. If you can move like with due diligence, like without running, but with pace. There we go, there we go. Who remembers this? What's this? It's a what? It's a life belt. Who remembers a few few months ago, we had this. Rescue. Remember? God was calling us to be part of his rescue plan. And that's what we are looking to do. Now you might say, but Mick, I've got enough to do. I've got my job, got my family. I'm not an evangelist. I don't do... We are part of this thing. God's called us together at this church for this season. He's done amazing things over the past 15 years or so. But now is the time, to seek his face in prayer, to know his protection, and to press on. We are called to be rescuers. And how does that work? Well, it's when we hear this. It's when we hear this. That was so smooth. That is the klaxon. That is the klaxon to go and get in the lifeboat. That's the lifeboat people leaving their jobs and doing what they're trained for, which is to get in the boat and get on the sea and rescue people who are drowning. And so we said several months ago, when you're at the photocopier, when you're at the school gates and somebody says, when you go, how are you? Yeah, I'm doing, not bad. I'm struggling at the moment. We've got illness in our family. Bap, bap, bap. You hear that. And you say, you don't go, oh dear, I'm sorry to hear that, and go back to your desk. You hear the klaxon, you go, oh, remember the klaxon. Can I pray for you? The worst they can say is no. Very rarely do people say no. They go, oh, right, yeah. And they think you're going to pray for them in church on Sunday, but you say, now, at the photocopier, and I'll pray for you in church as well. Or at the school gates, if they're struggling with the family. The situations, there's loads of them. And I'm going to ask us, we're going to have this anointing in a few moments, we're going to ask God to anoint us to be ready to pray, know his protection, and press on in these next weeks, to invite people along to our communities and to our church, and to be ready at every moment in our day to hear the klaxon call from heaven saying, it's you I've chosen, get the yellows on, pray for that person, invite them to church, minister to them, share the gospel with them. That's what he's calling us to do. And for that to happen, we need a new wine, a new sense of God's presence. I'm going to ask the guys just to pray this quietly over us. Could you start just playing this? It'd be great. It's a lovely song. As we sing this, we'll just remain seated for a few moments. Then I want to call you out. There's some guys at the front to anoint you with oil. But prepare us. The kids are not in yet. They're still out. Don't worry. Just have these few moments. Lord, prepare us now to be anointed with oil. Whatever's happening in our lives, to be ready to respond to the klaxon call. There's going to be exciting weeks to come. Lord, do a new thing in our lives and in this church now.